Let us pray. God of light, burst forth in our lives. We come to you seeking truth, and instead, you open our eyes that we might truly see. Shake us when we close our eyes to what is truly before us. Speak words of encouragement when the truth of ourselves is revealed to us and we are afraid of what we find there. Remind us always that we are loved. We offer this and all our prayers in the strong name of our brother and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, that was a little bit of a marathon, 41 verses that Colleen ran through. We didn't even leave water up here for her, so thank you, Colleen. But I want to talk to you about last week's reading before we get into the 41 verses today. Reverend Michelle opened to us the story of the woman at the well. We heard a story that was well known to us, or at least one that we thought was well known. Reverend Michelle reminded us of the assumptions that we, and perhaps countless generations of people, have had about the woman in this reading, her life, the circumstances of her marriages and relationships. But as Reverend Michelle pointed out, none of that was there. In the text, none of that was there. And so the woman that we often think we're reading about may actually have been very different from the woman in the text. We don't like when things like that happen. Sure, last week when Reverend Michelle opened our eyes to the possibilities of who this woman was, we were educated and our faith may have been deepened. And that's a good thing. But it's hard to be told that something that you believe to be true, something that perhaps people have been telling you for years to be true, may not be. It's like hearing a word said correctly for the first time that you've been saying wrong your whole life. I have a friend whose father can't say vegetable. But it's funny trying to hear him say it, but he can't. I've heard other people say words like chameleon, chameleon. Sorry, Natalie. Working under the guise of something or the guise of something. Yeah. It's like, did you ever have friends who heard you say that word and never actually told you that you were saying it wrong? Your whole world is shaken at that point. It's like hearing in your adult life for the first time about what Bob was talking about in the announcements, about the Indian residential schools and the part that the United Church played in them. I, too, didn't hear about that in school. Here's another one that might be a little bit strange. It's like hearing that Sinbad, you know, the comedian, was never a genie in a movie called Shazam. But it was actually Shaquille O'Neal in a movie called Kazam. This is actually an argument that Natalie and I had for longer than I care to admit. And it turns out the internet is quite divided on the topic as well. It's like having the solid ground of certainty suddenly change to the shifting sands of uncertainty. We start to sink and to question the reality that's right there before us. I ask us to reflect on the story of the woman and on these things in our lives that happen, because this week we have a story where reality shifts, not just for a few people, but for a whole town. Again, it's a story that's well known to us. The healing of the man born blind. We remember this story because of how gritty and down to earth it is, literally. Jesus sees a man blind from birth as he and his disciples were traveling from place to place. And after a teachable moment with his disciples, Jesus spits in the dirt, makes mud, rubs it on the man's eyes, and asks him to go wash. And then he sees. He comes back. And the world is open to him in a way that he'd never experienced. He could see. But the turning upside down of his world also meant the same shift for the people in his village. They couldn't believe it. They couldn't grasp it. Something that they had known to be true since this formerly blind man was born is now not true. And they can't reconcile what's happening. It's not until the parents actually say, sure, he's ours, but we don't know what happened, and he's old enough, you should ask him anyway. All of this world-shaking truth, this man who was blind, no longer is blind, began with Christ meeting him on the road. There the disciples asked whether it was the sin of this man or of his parents that caused him to be born blind. Jesus' response was that in this man the works of God would be revealed. And then he went about revealing the works of God in this man, setting a chain reaction of reality disrupting. This whole story is actually a great analogy for the whole of Jesus' ministry. He goes about revealing truth, and in doing so, reveals the presence and the grace of God. And then everyone's world gets turned upside down because of it. Speaking of revelation, this is Transfiguration Sunday, and as Michelle was telling the children, we're used to hearing the story of Jesus taking his disciples, Peter, James, and John, up the mountain, and the great revelation of clouds and light, and Moses and Elijah and Jesus all having a conversation, and Peter saying, let's build tents. But that's not what we heard today. We heard a very different story of eyes being opened. The narrative lectionary takes those clouds and that light to a different level. Because Jesus isn't just opening the eyes of this one man, but many people. He's opening their eyes to the truth of his life and his mission, of the life and mission of Jesus Christ. He takes the clouded minds of these people and sheds the divine light of his being on them, showing them that the grace and love and new life, it's not only possible, but it walks amongst them. But if the man born blind being able to see is hard for people to grasp, then the divine walking among them is a question that they're just not ready to deal with, let alone ask. How often are we so caught or trapped in a way of thinking that we cannot see the work of the Spirit as it walks among us? Worse than that, when have we tried to funnel, as Christ puts it, the works of God through systems of our own understanding and design? When have we tried to cage or house the light that shines? Like the people of the first century, we see what we want to see. And when something comes along that upsets that apple cart of reality, it confronts us at the very least, and it convicts us if we're really listening. If we're being really honest with ourselves, we are a people of preference. We like things a certain way. We like our coffee or our tea a certain way. We like our steaks done a certain way, or perhaps not on the plate at all. And despite being a creative and inventive people by design, we are actually people who crave routine. We crave routine in our day-to-day secular lives. More so do we crave routine in our spiritual lives. We like worship to be a certain way and a certain length, thank you very much. We like the Lord's Prayer spoken, unless you're not one of those people who likes the Lord's Prayer spoken, and you actually like the Lord's Prayer sung. We actually have those two in this congregation, so balancing act. We like the hymns that we like because they're familiar. We like our minister a certain way. And woe betide anyone who confronts us, challenges us, convicts us, or calls us out of the familiar of the known to the frontier of the unknown. I speak it of some experience in this place, but also with regards to a people who had an expectation of a Messiah that Christ bucked at every turn. And yet, in the upside-down kingdom that we pray for, he is exactly the upside-down king that we need. Because while we think that we know the story of the blind man, we don't. He did not do the works of God to open the eyes of this one man, but rather to open the eyes of the whole people of the village. It is they who were blind to the preciousness of the man that they would not, that they could not believe had changed. And it is they who were blind to the divine in their midst. We are the village. Every time that we limit the movement of the Spirit or dismiss the works of God among us, every time that we seek our preference over the call of our divine parent, every time that we cage the light, we are the village. The sooner that we accept that, the better. Then we can start to learn, to grow, to adapt. Because we are also the man. As blind as we can be to what God is doing or trying to do in our lives, Jesus does not give up. And there is no end to the spit and the mud and the grace that he will slather on our eyes to open our hearts to the truth. And so on this Transfiguration Sunday, let us not turn ourselves from the light that shines before us. Blinding though it might be, don't turn away. Let's not shy away from the dark places, places in our world and in ourselves, even parts that we fear or are ashamed of. Because in facing the truth of ourselves, we come to a place of owning our own brokenness. And then the mending power of Christ begins to work. And the more that we face that light, the less it stings our eyes, and the more we are transformed by it. We are the man, and Christ's hands are upon us. We are the village, and the Spirit is moving all around us. We are the people of God, bathed in light, transformed by love. Don't stop that light from shining. Amen.